There was an excellent judge who told the real mother from the false one by seeing who has true love. With his outstanding wisdom, he settled whatever was brought to him with an accurate judgment. One of the examples is found in 1 Kings chapter 3, verses 16 through 28. During the Solomon's reign, there were two women, as you know well. They lived in the same house together. One of them gave birth to a child. So did the other one after 3 days. But there was an accident, in which one of them accidentally laid over her child while sleeping and killed him. In the middle of the night, she snuck over to the woman who gave birth 3 days earlier and switched the babies, leaving her dead son in her bosom. The woman who gave birth 3 days earlier woke up to find the baby in her bosom dead. But as she took a close look, she found that it wasn't her son. I have my own daughter. It's fairly easy to tell who your child is. So she found that it wasn't her son. She must have fought over the baby and notified others of the situation. As the problem remained unresolved, she came before the king to complain about that unfair situation. While both claimed that the living baby was hers, how did Solomon respond? Having received unprecedented wisdom from God, he said as follows, "Give me a sword." So they brought a sword before the king. The king said, "Divide a living child in two and give half to the one and half to the other." Then the woman whose child was the living one spoke to the king, for she was deeply stirred over her son, and said, "Oh, my lord, give her a living child and by no means kill him." But the other said, "He shall be neither mine nor yours. Divide him." Then the king said, "Give the first woman the living child, and by no means kill him. She is his mother." So who's the real mother, do you think? The one who asked the king not to kill the baby. Which is the one? What did you feel as you saw how the trial went on? I think you noticed which one of the two had truthful love for the baby. The real mother's reaction indicates that she wanted to save her baby even though she could not have him. On the contrary, the false one wasn't interested in the baby's life because he wasn't a son of her own. How could she ask the king to kill the son? She agreed that the baby would be divided and that she would have one half. Did she want a half of his dead body because she loved him? No. She lacked even a bit of conscience and gave up the duty of man, and she had no regard for his life. Out of her wicked heart, she wanted the real mother to suffer misery with her. That's why she said, "He shall be neither mine nor yours." With true love, however, when a person whom we love is likely to suffer damage, we are willing to give up even ourselves. The word love itself, the mother would have given up even her own life if she could have saved that child by doing so. The word love itself makes our heart thrilled and moved. Because God is love, we feel inspired just by hearing the word. When we hear the word love, someone from the Bible goes through our mind. She is Mary Magdalene. We read in John chapter 20, verse 17, Jesus said to her, "Stop clinging to me, for I have not yet ascended to the Father. But go to my brethren and say to them, I ascend to my Father and your Father and my God and your God." Seeing this verse alone, we deeply feel what kind of true love Mary Magdalene had for our Lord. Today, as we talk about Mary Magdalene's deeds in terms of true love, I hope you receive a lot of grace. Today's message is based on Senior Pastor's previous sermons, True Love, preached on November 20th, 2005, and Love, preached on April 8th, 2007. Hopefully, today's message will help you cultivate true love in your heart until our Lord comes back. By doing so, I pray that all of you will bring joy and delight to Father God, who has lamented and toiled so much to complete the 6,000-year human cultivation. Brothers and sisters, then, how could we cultivate sincere and true love by which we can move the heart of Father God? The answer is to love with an unchanging heart like Mary Magdalene did. The core of true love which Father God wants to receive from His children is the unchanging heart. We can talk about the unchanging heart in three different aspects. First, it is the innermost being. Those with an unchanging innermost being continue to love God even in the face of unexpected extreme situations. Their love for the Lord doesn't waver at all. There's a phrase that goes, "a bolt out of the blue," which refers to a situation where a thunder roars in the clear sky. This is mentioned when we describe an unexpected accident or disaster. Those with a good innermost being never waver in their love for God and the Lord, even in the face of a situation like a bolt out of the blue. People of this kind have unchanging love. Mary Magdalene from today's passage also falls under this category. Since she gained new life through Jesus, Mary Magdalene had love for Jesus in the innermost being. So that she could be of help to Jesus anyhow, she offered all she had in following and serving Him. All of a sudden, she heard the news that Jesus, who had done only good and performed amazing works with great power, was captured by the Jewish soldiers. Just a few hours back, Jesus was eating with His disciples and talking with them. After He went up Mount Olive to pray, He was arrested by the soldiers. This incident was literally a bolt out of the blue to Mary Magdalene. She rushed to meet Jesus and found Him in the courtyard of the high priest. The chief priests and scribes who were assembled there offered false testimonies, looking for grounds on which to kill Jesus. They condemned Him a sinner that deserved death penalty. Some spat on Him, covered up His face, and punched or slapped Him in the head. They mocked Him. Jesus, whom she deemed so dear, was hit and mocked by people. How do you think Mary felt as she saw all this? Do you think she thought like, "What I've known about Him must be wrong? If I stayed here any longer, wouldn't I suffer damage?" Never did she have such thoughts. Her faith in and love for Jesus didn't waver even a little bit. Moreover, when she saw people slapping or punching Him, she was tormented as if she herself was slapped or punched. She saw her beloved Jesus, who healed her, suffering by the chief priests and priests. She also saw Jesus accused by the scribes and the Pharisees. elders and many of those who shouted, Hosanna, in support of him. Despite seeing Jesus' agony, Mary Magdalene didn't waver at all in heart. Her love for Jesus never weakened. Yet, this wasn't the end of Jesus' suffering. He was handed over from the chief priests to Pilate, and Pilate had him flogged and sentenced him to crucifixion. There was no way for Jesus to escape that cruel punishment, nor was there any hope of avoiding death. There was no way. Knowing all this, Mary Magdalene, who had unchanging love for Jesus in her innermost being, didn't involve any fleshly thoughts, nor did she have any doubt or fear. Even though shocking incidents happened one after another until his death, Mary Magdalene didn't waver in fear. Rather, with all the stronger love for Jesus, she followed him right behind and stayed by his side to the very end. Just by watching movie or drama scenes depicting Jesus' suffering, we are deeply grieved and saddened. So, can you imagine how Mary Magdalene must have felt as she watched him suffering right at the spot? She shared Jesus' torment in her heart, and not wanting to let Jesus go, she stayed by his side until he breathed his last. This is how a person with unchanging love would act. Among our fathers of faith were those who had such an unchanging innermost being. God commanded Abraham, the father of faith, to offer his son, to whom he gave birth at age 100, as a burnt offering. This command was totally incomprehensible by man's common sense. Moreover, God previously promised that numerous descendants would be born through Isaac. Yet, Abraham immediately obeyed this word of God without a slightest bit of resentment. This is because his love for God surpassed his affection for his son, Isaac. But it's not that he didn't love Isaac, but his love for God surpassed his affection for Isaac. And he also believed that even if Isaac was offered as a burnt offering, God could bring him back to life. That's why he could obey God. The same went for Daniel and his three friends who had unchanging love in their innermost being. Even when they were thrown into a burning furnace and a lion's den, they didn't waver at all. They didn't complain like, I feared God and kept His commandments, but why doesn't God protect me? We, mommy members, have acted only in God's will and accomplished the world mission and accomplished the publication ministry. Father God has been with us all the time, and He's been with us with glory and blessings only. Even now, at the moment, can you imagine what kind of blessing would follow after this? But those blessings and glory is not given for free. Only after we join all this trial and agony, can we receive such glory and blessings. Rather, they resolutely affirm that even if God wouldn't save them from the crisis, their faith shall not change. They accepted all their trials in thanksgiving. Eventually, God was greatly honored by Daniel and his three friends. In the face of a test or a trial, has your love for Father God and the Lord wavered? Those who've loved God superficially, not from the depths of their heart, change when faced with challenging or arduous situations. Their love for God weakens either significantly or slightly. Although people confess their love for the Lord when they suffer a minor trouble, some of them end up feeling discouraged with such thoughts as, why did God allow this to happen? Others also drive themselves into despair, thinking, because I've done many wrongs, God wouldn't love a person like me. While Father God's love for them remains the same, such thoughts go through their mind, which indicates that their heart wavers. Now, realizing that their love for God has changed, they just feel that God's love for them is different from what it was like before. God's love for us never, ever changes. In his sermon, a senior pastor talked about God's unfailing love. He confessed as follows. Because I've loved Father God from the depths of my heart without changing, no matter what kind of hardships I suffered, it wasn't difficult for me to keep my faith in God. Even though many people in the world misunderstood and criticized me, as I held on to the fact that Father God acknowledges my truthfulness and loves me, nothing mattered. Amen. Amen. We know that Father God knows us, man. We know that Father God will work, cause all things to work together for good. So I believe that all of us should be filled with thanksgiving and joy. Just as the pastor did, I challenge all of you to cultivate unchanging love for the Lord in your innermost being. Thus, even when you are faced with hardships, I urge you to overcome them with the power of love, which is even stronger, thereby bringing joy and glory to Father God. Brothers and sisters, I reminded you that true love, which Father God wants from us, is unchanging love. Secondly, let's talk about unchanging love in terms of truthfulness. Our Jesus advised us in Mark chapter 12, verse 30, "You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your mind and with all your strength." Today, we'll specifically talk about what it is to love God with all our heart and with all our strength, truthfully and unchangingly. Indeed, if we love God first, God will lead us to New Jerusalem. Then, there wouldn't be a single reason that we can't make it there, said the senior pastor. To examine our love in terms of truthfulness, we have to look back and check whether we've loved God without changing, with all our heart. As a novice believer, people have ardent first love for God. Even though they don't know the truth perfectly, to the extent they know it, they love God wholeheartedly. Even though they have only a little amount of truth cultivated in their heart, to the best of that amount, they earnestly love God. As they grow in faith, the amount of truth cultivated in their heart increases twofold or threefold or more. And then they have to show their sincerity towards Father God twofold or threefold as well. Only then can we say they love God without changing and their love is truthful. But as for some people, even though they grow in faith, they don't pour as much heart as they offer to God as a novice believer, yet they think, "I love God and offer my heart to Him without changing." As for other people, their faith has grown threefold compared to the one they used to have as a novice believer, but their sincerity towards God has increased only 1.5 times. Most people under this category think they have truthful, unchanging love for God because they offer more of their heart than before. But if we examine the two cases in light of truthfulness, they all fall short. They might think they've kept truthful and unchanging love for God, but from a certain point, they fail to offer all their heart and sincerity and gradually begin to seek their own benefits and comfort. Jesus said in Matthew chapter 6, verse 21, "For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also." Let's talk about offerings, which is one of the ways to offer our heart. senior pastor has steadily increased the amount of his offerings to God in faith. Even as a novice believer, he appreciated God's grace and gave offerings with all of his sincerity. With his heart remaining unchanged, he offered the greatest amount of offerings even in this church with a huge membership. I just took offerings, for example, to help you figure out how you offer all your heart to God without changing. To examine our love for God in light of truthfulness, let us look at with how much of our strength we've loved God. Let's say a 10-year-old boy can lift up a load weighing 5 kilograms for his parents. Then, when he turns 15, he can lift up a heavier load. And there's no doubt that he can carry an even heavier load when he turns 20. But whether at age 15 or 20, he offers to carry no more than a 5-kilogram load. But still, he says, because I'm carrying my parents' load, I love them the same way I did in the past. Then, do you think that makes sense? If the load, he has to carry heavier and heavier loads if he truly loves his parents. But if he stays the same, he cannot say that he loves his parents. Likewise, in carrying out God-given duties, we have to devote our heart and efforts in various ways. By the way, despite having grown in faith, if we find it burdensome to receive a God-given duty, we can't say we love God with all our strength. The same goes for those who receive a God-given duty, but don't carry it out wholeheartedly. While we are capable of carrying a heavier load and benefiting the kingdom of God all the more, if we say, I'm not strong enough to carry such a heavy load, or I don't feel like bearing that, it's hard to say we have truthful love for God. Senior pastor confesses that he's never thought that's enough since he founded this church. Even though we have over 11,000 branch and associative churches, he's never thought like, enough has been done. I've accomplished this much as a pastor. Let's take it easy from now on. With such a mindset, he's taken on increasingly difficult or demanding tasks and expanded his work for the kingdom of God. He said that because Father God continuously guaranteed him with increasingly great power, he couldn't stay satisfied. I challenge all of you to examine your faith in light of truthfulness and bring forth fruit, benefiting your measure of faith. Brothers and sisters, those who have an unchanging and truthful heart are surely accompanied by these. Third, we read in John chapter 20, verses 17 and 18, Jesus said to her, "Stop clinging to me, for I have not yet ascended to the Father, but go to my brethren and say to them, I ascend to my Father and your Father and my God and your God." Mary Magdalene came, announcing to the disciples, "I have seen the Lord," and then he had said these things to her. This is the scene in which Mary Magdalene, who visited the tomb in 3 days after the crucifixion, met our resurrected Lord. With her true love, she demonstrated unchanging deeds. Consequently, she gained the honor of meeting our Lord first after his resurrection. What glory this was to her! As said in James chapter 2, verse 22, you see that faith was working with his works, and as a result of his works, faith was perfected. Fruit of love is born through these. After Mary Magdalene saw the resurrected Lord, all her sorrow and agony went away. Because she had such unchanging and truthful love for the Lord, the fruit of her love was born through these even after his ascension into heaven. Watching the Easter performance, we heard Mary Magdalene's confessions of love. How truthful and earnest her love is. I remember senior pastor wiping away his tears for over an hour during the performance. I've also played the role of Jesus for the Easter performance. When I did that, I had a chance to meet senior pastor and Mrs. Bong Nim Lee and many other church members. Because as an actor, as a player, so to be inspired as an actor on the stage, I had to fix my eyes on senior pastor. And I saw senior pastor always shedding tears. As I played Jesus on the stage, when I saw senior pastor, I always found him shedding tears and weeping. I now vividly remember that scene. How sincere and truthful her confessions are. Every word in her confessions bears her tears. We heard how she felt during the crucifixion and her conversation with our Lord after His resurrection. We heard her beautiful confessions of love from the Easter performance. And as our Lord requested, she devoted her utmost efforts to share the gospel as a witness of His resurrection. Even though our Lord was not by her side, she didn't get saddened or discouraged. Holding on to the promise that she would meet the Lord again, she didn't lose her joy. These days, we miss Senior Pastor so much, we want to shake hands with him. Now, we cannot do so. In the future, we will do so as well, of course. But if we stay discouraged, would Senior Pastor want us to get discouraged? We have to do our best wherever we are and bear fruit so that when Senior Pastor comes back, he can say to all of us, thank you. Holding on to the promise that she would meet the Lord again, she didn't lose her joy. We will soon meet our senior pastor. Amen. Occasionally, she ran out of food to eat and faced persecutions from the Jews. She actually faced the life-threatening moments. It's not just a minor persecution. But she didn't say like, I can't take this anymore. Until she went back to our Lord's side, she earnestly shared His love and testified to His resurrection. The same should go for us. If we truly love our Lord from the depths of our heart, if our love is truthful and unchanging, we can also demonstrate these like Mary Magdalene. Gospel sharing has to be done. Gospel sharing, sanctification of our heart, prayer, and our love for the souls has to be accompanied by these. All these things should be done and accompanied by these. There's someone who exemplifies this. She is Ms. Bong Nim Lee. Amen. Today is the last day of the special Daniel prayer meeting. She's been always there with us, leading us to pray fervently with all her life. Although she got injured in her toes, but she made sure to attend the prayer meeting and offer her prayer. Because she has love like the one that Mary Magdalene had, she does her best in carrying out her duties. She's been always there with us, leading us to pray fervently with all our life. Let us give applause for her service. I want all of you to attend the special Daniel prayer meeting award ceremony and receive abundant blessings. I'm not saying this because I will be the MC of the award ceremony, but you have to attend the places where you can receive blessings, right? Our prayer for the kingdom of God and His righteousness is also a deed that demonstrates our love for Father God. Without our love for Father God and Senior Pastor, we would just sit in the living room and watch TV instead of coming to pray. We need a lot of prayer at the moment. And after this, if we imagine the blessings and glory that will follow, we can't just sit back. We also have Daniel prayer meeting tomorrow. With love for the church and love for the souls, I urge you to keep praying. Our prayer for the kingdom of God and His righteousness is also a deed that demonstrates our love for Father God. Those who love Father God should have spiritual love as His children. There should be spiritual love between spouses as well. Our love for senior pastor, our guide, has to be displayed by way of deeds. Many people are overjoyed and thankful when they're filled up with first love for God. Then, why do you think they end up losing that first love? Just as Revelation chapter 2 verses 4 and 5 remind us, because they've fallen from the deeds they did at first, they lose their first love. Even though they confess that they love God from their heart, at some point, they begin to act as they please, rather than in a God-desired way. Also, when faced with a challenging task that goes against their benefits, they shrewdly deal with it, considering their physical situation, and they are not willing to put more of their heart. And one of my fellow pastors came over to me and confessed. I was so inspired. It was Sunday. One of the church members fell sick, and she went to the bathroom and threw up. And this pastor who talked about this went somewhere to find, when this pastor came back to the bathroom, another church member cleaned up the bathroom floor with her own hand. The place was cleaned up. As I heard this, I was so inspired. That person, we have many people with true love for the Lord. It's not that she threw up on the floor of the bathroom, but she cleaned up the floor with her own hand. I was very thankful to hear that. We can also do so. We can pick up a garbage in the sanctuary. The same goes for our offerings. Another church member confessed that she tried to get a new apartment, and she had a big discount. She didn't have to pay as much money, and for that discounted amount, she offered a tithe for that discounted amount. But his wife suggested, because we are in financial trouble, we don't have to pay a tithe. But he refused to accept that suggestion, because the church is in trouble. We have to pay the tithe. We have to pay the money as a tithe. So our pastors, elders, and church members love this church a lot. If you fall under this category, I urge you to turn from your ways and choose a God-pleasing way every time you make a decision. As you try to display these with all your heart and strength, you can recover your first love and even more than that. I sincerely hope that from now on, you can recover your love for the Lord and perfectly cultivate true love until our Lord comes back. Brothers and sisters, let me conclude a message. While the church is in this situation, there is one who always stays where she is with love for Father God and the Lord and the senior pastor. She is Pastor Soojin Lee, who confesses that her faith at the moment is stronger than any other time throughout her life of faith. In the last week of each month, she conducts the Divine Healing Meeting, and she preaches at Sunday morning every 2 weeks. Especially, last Friday, she gave a sermon for the Divine Healing Meeting as well, so that even one more person could be healed through the message. She didn't spare her efforts. I myself occasionally preach, but it's never easy to prepare a sermon. As for me, it takes about 2 months of preparation and a lot of prayer, so you have to receive a lot of grace. Thank you. I'm saying this because, senior pastor used to preach at right on this altar. You, pastors, should do all your best in preparing a sermon. But Pastor Soojin Lee is doing it every 2 weeks or more often. We have to, in addition, she led praise in the middle of special Daniel prayer meeting, not half-heartedly, but with all her life, love, and passion. So even when she finds herself drained of energy and stamina, she remembers our Lord's and senior pastor's ministry and pushes on. Thinking how the shepherd would feel each and every moment, she tries to speak and act a way that reminds us of senior pastor, which is so inspiring. Thank you. I sincerely thank her. As I feel a lot of love from her, I had some problem in my family. I had a time to think of senior pastor and Pastor Soojin Lee a lot. And recently, senior pastor appeared to me in my dream. Actually, I was in trouble with that family issue. In the morning, I went to sleep, and also Pastor Soojin Lee appeared to me in my dream. In that dream, with a bright smile, she talked about my problem. And she talked with me with a bright smile. And after waking up from that dream, all my sorrows and concerns went away, and I was at peace. And all things turned out well. All things ended up well in the end. And so I thought that acting senior pastor Soojin Lee appeared to my dream on behalf of senior pastor. I think her deeds are like those of Mary Magdalene, who waited for our Lord with unchanging love and carried out her duties with all her life. Hopefully, all of you, pastors, elders, senior deaconesses, deacons and deaconesses, do the same so that you will be appreciated and complimented when senior pastor comes back. Brothers and sisters, because Mary Magdalene had unchanging love for the Lord and unceasingly demonstrated love through truthful deeds, she could be a truly blessed woman who met the resurrected Lord first. I hope that all of us will joyfully and confidently meet our Lord as His lovely bride when He comes back in the air. I challenge you to engrave the aspects of true love in your heart and make sure to cultivate it. In the beginning of the message, I told you that the core of true love is unchanging heart. And then we've talked about unchanging love in terms of the following three: innermost being, truthfulness, and deeds. I hope that this message will inspire and empower you to achieve true love. If you move Father God with your true love, He will then extend His great and amazing love to you. May all of you march on vigorously with the power of that love and be blessed ones in New Jerusalem.
Hallelujah! Almighty Father God of love, please lay your hands on all brothers and sisters receiving this prayer here in attendance. Lay your hands on all the members of the branch churches and local centuries, and all the GCN TV viewers, and those who are watching via satellites, cables, and the internet all over the world, transcending space and time. Plant faith in their hearts and drive out their negative thoughts and doubts. Let all the trials and afflictions leave them. By the fire of the Holy Spirit, from head to toe, scorch their sick and affected parts, including all cells, tissues and nerves, all internal organs and intestines. Let the light of creation come upon them. In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, I command the enemy devil and Satan, all diseases, germs and viruses, and infirmities, go away. Let the light shine on them. Scorch their incurable and long-term diseases by the fire of the Holy Spirit. Burn all kinds of endemic and contagious diseases like malaria. Be cleansed and made well. All epidemic diseases such as colds and fever, go away from them. Protect them from any kinds of germs and viruses and bacteria. Heal them of all kinds of cancers like stomach cancer, lung cancer, liver cancer, breast cancer, womb cancer, intestinal cancer, and all other diseases like AIDS, leukemia, cerebral apoplexy, high blood pressure, low blood pressure, heart disease, lung disease, diabetes, women's diseases, thyroid diseases, and all inflammations. Let them be made whole from polio, stroke, arthritis, herniated discs, and many others. Let all kinds of pains disappear from them, like back pain, headache, and neuralgia. Set them free from epilepsy, autism, depression, neurosis, and all other mental diseases. Loosen them from all kinds of paralysis, and let them get up, walk, and jump. Let them regain good eyesight and restore good hearing. Let the blind open their eyes and the deaf come to hear and mute begin to speak. Heal them of after effects of all kinds of accidents. Restore their ruptured and broken bones. Restore them from burns and let the heat and burning sensation go away from them. Father, let there be no scars left. Be cleansed from all kinds of drug addictions and poisoning. Father, regenerate dead nerves, tissues, and cells, and bring the dead back to life. Father, please bless them to conceive a baby. Bless them to conceive a baby. In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, I command the enemy devil and Satan, the ruler of the air, the evil forces and their servants, go away from them. Go away, you evil spirits, unclean spirits, deceiving spirits, spirits of falsehood, separating spirits, and all forces of darkness. Loosen all bonds of wickedness and darkness, and go away from them. Let the light shine on them. Father God, give them strength to cry out in their prayer, and empower them with the power to cast off sins and become sanctified. Let them be in good health as their soul becomes prosperous, and let their family be evangelized. Protect them from all kinds of accidents and disasters, and bless them to lead a successful and prosperous life in everything. Please protect your children, their home, their business, and their work by the fiery hedge of the Holy Spirit, with the heavenly host and angels, and with your blazing eyes. Give students wisdom and understanding, and fill their hearts with more passion and desire for study. Keep their hearts and minds from worldly things, and plant into their hearts more fervent love for God. Bless your children and let them give glory to you in everything they do, whether they eat or drink or whatever they do. Let them confess and testify to the living God, "I've met God, I've experienced God, and received His answers and blessings." Father God, thank you. Let all glory be to you alone. In the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, I pray. Amen.